Welcome everyone to the Thursday night class. We are going to do now, we're continuing last week. We began learning about the cosmic unity above and below, the incredible discourse on Kegavna, which is the special Zohar that is said in, on Shabbos. On Friday nights, we say the passage of the Zohar. We say the passage of the Zohar, and it discusses the inner dynamics of Shabbos. So we learned a few classes about the Shabbos meals, so this is going to complement whatever we've learned earlier. So one class we learned already last week, we began. Now this prayer is said after the prayers that we say called Kabbalah Shabbos, before we start Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is the evening service. It's like the intersection between Kabbalah Shabbos, which are special the Psalms, and there's a piyot of Lachadodi, and then we say Kegavna. Now it's esoteric, it's Kabbalistic, but it's time for mysticism. We're entering into the deep, hidden, godly world of Mashiach. So for sure, it's time for the mystical world to become tangible and real to us all. So in last class over there, we began that it says over there, the Zohar opens up with a statement that just like they become unified above in oneness, so too she too becomes unified in the secret of oneness. So there is what is basically describing is that there is an incredible oneness happening to the world as Shabbos comes in. When Shabbos comes in, the world goes from a state of pluralism and fragmentation into a state of unity. Everything melts into the unity of, and the reason for that is because the essence of Shabbos means returning. It's in a sense a cosmic tshuva. Shabbos is from the word, Shabbos is the same letters as tashev, return. So Shabbos, all of existence is returning back into the bosom of the Creator. It's like God is taking the world back into his womb. So when the world is expressed outside, we can see all the differentiations, the pieces, and each thing feels to be separate. And there's a strong sense of the many different pieces and parts where every single piece seems to be its own thing. And a lot of times the thinginess of the things don't always feel unified, and that's why there is war and friction and discord in the world. And a lot of pain and suffering. It's all because there is a certain fragmentation, there's a breakage in the world. And the secret of holiness is the secret of unity. But the secret of unity is that only when the world embraces God and sees as Hashem as the source of all of existence, that's the common denominator between every creature and every being is that it's a creation of God, and God is imbued and God flows in it. The singular God flows into existence to unify creation. So this passage of the Zohar depicts how that unity happens on Friday night. That there's certain dynamics of that unity. And the main idea that we're going to learn is that there is a unity coming from above, and there is a unity coming from below. The real greatness of the Shabbos is that the unity is projected from above. That means that the depth of the unity and the oneness is a oneness that we can never come to within our own understanding and in our own experiences from within ourselves, but God projects it onto us, that deep sense of absolute oneness. But in order for us to merit to become included into the ultimate oneness, to receive in our consciousness the ultimate oneness and unity with Hashem, and thereby unity with all of creation and all of existence, thereby unity with all of creation and all of existence, in order to come to that oneness, we first have to prepare ourselves with a level of oneness that we are able to achieve. So we reach our level of oneness as much as we can through the created lens, through the mind of a created being, which inherently is very, very much affected by the pieces of creation, because we live in time and space, and the whole idea of time and space is that everything is, there is before, there is now, there once was, there is everything is divided into days, into months, into years. It's a very PC existence. And also, it's we're living in a world of division. It's northeast, southwest, up and down. Everything's a different direction. Everything's a different, it's a different climate, it's a different experience, a different, and then the people that live in those places, everybody's different, and all that creates all this fragmentation, and it's very, and all this takes a toll on us. The more fragmented and broken we are, the more unhealthy we are. So the beautiful element of Shabbos is it takes us into, it's a little glimpse of Mashiach when the world is going to experience complete oneness and complete unity, where everything is harmonized into a incredible oneness, like our Lag BaOmer event that's called the Unithon. There's a new word that I made up just the other day. And I checked and I see the trademark. No one ever did a Unithon, at least that I know. So it's Gaval. It's because it's the Mayan. It's the center of unity that's coming to the community to unify, to harmonize, to elevate, to bring everybody into oneness from fragmentation and separation. So Shabbos is that secret, the secret of oneness. So the Zohar says there is a unity above and there's a unity below. Now, a very important point that is going to flow through the entire Zohar, and we also learned it in last week, is number one, the point that we just made, that the unity from above, that comes from above, is a much deeper unity than the unity that can be achieved from below. That's number one. Point number two is that the unity and above of above and the unity of below get married to each other. On Shabbos, there is a union. On Shabbos, there is a yichud. On Shabbos is a time of zivug. It's a time of male-female unity, which represents that the Hashem's truth of echad, his ultimate reality, God's, which is called the male truth of God, as God is above time and space and above creation and above creating the world, where there is, of course, the deepest oneness. There's only him. There's only a singular essence of an undefined being. And that unity descends down and embraces the Malchus, which is the source of creation, which is the feminine side of God, which is the lower unity. The upper unity swallows the lower unity, or deeper than that, doesn't swallow, he becomes one with her. And then she can experience his unity, and that means that all creations can get a little taste of the absolute oneness of God, which is only possible on Shabbos. So that's the fusion that takes place. Now, point number three, a very important point, is that all judgments come when things are in a state of ischalkos. That's where there's, from narrow-mindedness, from being stuck in something very constricted, in the constrictions and narrow-mindedness of things, that's where there's a lot of judgment and there's anger and wrath. So, and that applies not only to people, we see, that's why he explained last week, we saw little children get angry very fast, very fast. The minute they don't have what they want, they blow a fuse. You get older, hopefully. Some people remain children all their life, but when you get older and you have a little bit more of a broader mind, you're able to tolerate much more. Even if it's not exactly the way you want, you can see things from different angles and so on, that you don't get angry. Anger is always when a person gets stuck in a narrowness. Always. And we see that even by the biggest tzaddikim, when Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, we say he loses his mind. He's not in a state of clarity. Because when you are in a state of clarity, you don't get angry. And the amazing thing is that even in the divine, there's sometimes it says God gets angry. And that's because God is being immature. He's going, the Alter Rebbe says, God is going into, he's falling into a narrowness. What that means is because the divine energies descend down also to enter into the fragmentation and into the details. And when that happens, when Hashem is operating from a place where he is in a certain limited definition, that's when he gets angry. But when God himself rises into the more expansiveness of the Ein Sof, and what does that mean, God is rising? What that means is that Hashem runs the world by descending into, by being, Hashem makes himself into a being, into a person, with a human personality. When that human personality descends low and becomes more human-like, there can be more wrath and anger and upsetness. But when that human rises up closer to the pure infinity of God, and therefore that human is influenced by the expansiveness of the Ein Sof, never gets angry. There's a lot of patience, there's a lot of tolerance, there's a lot of forgiveness. Everything is sweet and everything is broad and everything is open and everything is in a state of there's no tension there. And that's the reason why, since Shabbos is a day where everything rises and gets swallowed up into God, everything gets like sucked into the Ein Sof, all of existence is returning back into this transcendental, above definitionless state of existence. On Shabbos, God is not angry. That's why on Shabbos you can get all the blessings. There's no judgment at all. So that's the themes that we're going to be chewing on as we're going to be learning this idea. The higher unity, the lower unity, the two unities, meaning the unity that we can achieve from below, the highest level of unity. We do that every day, not only on Shabbos. We say Shema Yisrael, the cornerstone of Judaism, is to say Shema Yisrael. It's to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. No, I have to give it to him. My holy brother. No bothering. I don't get bothered. There you go. Yes. Good Shabbos. So, the higher unity... The higher unity is the unity that Hashem experiences. The lower unity is the best we can do. Not only us, the feminine side of God, which is the source of creation, we learned yesterday, she can only reach the secret of oneness. She can't reach the real oneness. A secret of oneness means the oneness is not so apparent. The oneness is still hidden, because you can still see some differentiations. It's like speech. When a person speaks, there's a lot of sentences and a lot of words, but you can see oneness because it's one speech and it has one content. Especially a good speech is very compact. The ideas are all fitted together, and they're all, if you have a speech that's all fragmented and a bunch of ideas, and you don't see the oneness. But the oneness you can sense in thought, when you're thinking something, you can feel the oneness much stronger than when you're putting it into words. Because words go out of the person and go to the outside, so the letters and the words are so much more emphasized and specified, much more than in thought, where since the simplicity of the idea, the essence of the idea is still swallowing the words, is still overpowering the words. You don't hear so much the words. You hear more one singular concept. Once you put it into words and you're explaining it to others, it's far more choppy. That's the idea. So Malchus's unity is a limited unity. Like we say, the unity of Malchus is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso La'olam Va'ed. We know the word Va'ed is the same word as Echad. But it's not the same word, but it's a switching of those letters. Aleph and Vav switch because they're both vowels, and the Ches and the Ayin switch because they're both guttural letters, and the Dalet also switches because in the word Achad it's a large Dalet, and in the word Vayed it's a small Dalet, so it's not the same Dalet. So they all switch, even though it's a substitution of the same idea. It's just... But you don't see the one. If I tell you va'ed means oneness, you're not saying one. Yeah, va'ed means oneness. But it's you need to like think about it. Why is va'ed oneness? But if I say to you the word achad, it's clear the oneness. So that's the idea. Last week we learned. In Atzilus, in the world of emanation, where you encounter the real Sephirot, the Eser Sephirot, the pure 10 Sephirot, In Atzilus, and especially in the higher part of Atzilus, which we call the Ze'er Anpin, not in Malchus of Atzilus, but in the Ze'er Anpin of Atzilus. Over there, the Midot, the attributes, are already six attributes. There's already Chesed, Gevura, kindness, but they're in a state of oneness. They're in a state of oneness. Especially, even there, that's an astancy, even there, there's a difference between Shabbos and the weekday. In the weekday, the Chesed is more Chesed, and the Gevura is more Gevura, and that's why it's possible there should be anger, even in the Ze'er Anpin. Because it goes into a state of katnos, a state of smallness, and a state of separation. But what happens when Shabbos comes, what happens? The mochin, the chachma bina, the intellect shines on the emotions. And since the intellect overpowers the emotions become far more harmonized and unified. They go into a state of godless, into a state of maturity, to a state of bigness, into a state of expansiveness. And in that state, there's no more judgments. And there's a much deeper unity. You don't even know where the chesed, it's like the chesed can become gevura and the gevura can become chesed. It's still in a very abstract state when the emotions rise up into the intelligence. But when the emotions are more fixed in their place, the emotions are more stiff and pronounced. So what happens on Shabbos, we say, kegavno de'inen mesyachten, just like the highest sefirot in Atzilus, become unified, le'ela, above, in Atzilus, and not just in Atzilus, le'ela means in chachma and bina, when the emotions rise up into the chachma and into bina, where again, in the world of intellect, there is less differentiation than in emotions. Emotions are already more more separated. So when just like above in Atzilus, especially when they go le'ela, when they go above misyachten, they all become unified. In echad, in true oneness, everything is in a state of pure, real oneness, divine oneness, because the spherot of Atzilus are. In the world of Atzilus, there's nothing but God. These are his emotions becoming more in tune with the source of where all these emotions come from, which is the intellect and the essence of the Ein Sof that's above even the divine intelligence. So there it's a very, very powerful oneness. Oif hachi, so too the Zohar says, Ihi, who's Ihi? She. It's referring to the Shekhinah. She's the level of the divine that descends, the divine speech that becomes far more communicative with creation. She descends and invests itself in the creation. She becomes the real source of time and space. Over there, in the Malchut itself, there is also emotions, her emotions. Her emotions are far more in a state of many. She can get far more caught up in the elements of life in which her emotions go haywire. And each emotion gets stuck in where it is. So the Shekhinah becomes more affected by the pluralistic state of creation. Yet, when Shabbos comes and God is calling the Shekhinah back and he wants an intimacy with her, when the male element of the divine element of Atzilus wants to join and unify with the Shekhinah, and which means that she brings with her time and space and the entire world into the unity, Hashem says, okay, you got some time, Erev Shabbos, get your act together. You come into a state of oneness. So she collects herself back into a focused. It's like a person gets scattered, you know, sometimes you get... And you have to sometimes take a step back and you have to like pull away from things. That's one of the sort of the importance of why you always have to pull away. In Yiddishkeit, people think we run to vacation, which we need. But the real time for vacation and doing that is really davening. That's when you like escaped all the investments that you're invested in and you pull yourself out and go back into the oneness. So she, especially on Erev Shabbos, has to collect herself back into oneness. But when she comes to a state of oneness, she becomes unified, beraza de'echad. what the secret of oneness. Because her oneness is not the same like his oneness. Until to become with him one opposite the other. In other words, eventually he invites her in, once she's in a state of oneness, he invites her in to join his oneness. That's the concept. I felt like last week we weren't getting it. It was a lacking in this, in the clarity, but that's where we have to come back now. In other words, the oneness is felt today more than last week. I was tired and we were learning it and I wasn't really getting it. Now, this is kind of the summary of what we learned last week. Interesting, I was just thinking, the Gemara says that there's a time that many fights break out in homes is Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos. And the Gemara says that Reb Meir, tonight is Reb Meir's yard site, that there was a certain, something of a story about Rebbe Meir in his neighborhood where there was a lot of fighting happening on Erev Shabbos. And Reb Meir was trying to fix that. It was like a shindalitz, I think some kind of a demon that was causing fights to happen on Erev Shabbos. It's a whole story with Rebbe Meir. I'm going to have to go look up the story. Says, so I'm saying that it's because on Erev Shabbos it's so important to be in a state of harmony and oneness. That's why the Yetzirah tries to get in the way, dafka den, to create discord. So you have to be very careful. That's why it says it's a special demon that runs around Jewish homes and tries to, you know, tries to knock over something so that people get angry and they get upset. Now it's a mess on the floor, and you know, and you have to be careful, have to be extra cautious. Because since on Friday night we're being invited into a much deeper unity, we have to already create a certain ambiance of unity so that we can then be pulled into a much higher unity. Okay, that's kind of a summary of what we learned last week. And if we think about the idea that if we make these preparations properly, we can, you know, remove all divine judgment. Shouldn't be any negative decrees and stuff. We realize that it's very, 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 very crucial to focus on that peace and harmony as Shabbos is coming. Okay, now the Zohar continues and it says like this: Kutcha b'richu echad. The Zohar continues and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Kutcha Baruch Hu, who is Kutcha Baruch Hu? It's what we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echad, he is one. He's really one. Why? Alchus, as we said earlier, the Shekhinah that goes into creation, into the literal creations, in the level of creation where things are created something from nothing, there each creature is its own thing. Yes, there's one neshama to them, but each one is created yesh me'ayin. So if you are a creation of fire, you're opposite of water. And if you're a creation of water, then you're opposite of fire. So the creations are really separated from each other. There is a many. That's why I'm saying Shekhinah, because she is creating a world, actual creations, in the creations there isn't real oneness, because what is a creation? It's not God. Hashem created something. And you being something is different than someone else's something. Everything has its own chemistry. Everything has its own character of what it is. As long as we are dealing with Hashem himself projecting himself into various different colors, then it's still him. That's Atzilus. What's Atzilus? Hashem is emanating himself into the all colors of the rainbow. But it's not. There's nothing other than him still. So the unity is real unity. So it's Echad. But lower than him, in the level of Shekhinah, as we said earlier, it's creation already. There's much more pieces. Okay? So we say, but now we say like this. The next stage is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to settle onto his throne and wants to meet his wife for his ultimate unity. So what does the Zohar say? All right. He does not sit down on his majestic throne. Ad, until the Isavidas Ihi, until she makes herself Beraza de Echad in the secret of unity. Now he's going to wait. If she's fragmented and she's all over the place, he's not going to sit on his throne. And we're going to see soon that sitting on the throne is related to because the throne is Malchus. Him sitting on the throne means him unifying with her. He's not going to do that until she gets her act again. Maybe that's the reason, as I was saying earlier, how it's so important on Erev Shabbos to be in a state of unity. It's known that Rebbe Lemelach of Lozensk, in his home, on Erev Shabbos, everybody would ask for forgiveness. All the people were, he instituted it, and everybody would, he would walk around, it was like Erev Yom Kippur. It was to go make amends if I offended, like everybody asked for forgiveness. Because there had to be a powerful sense of complete harmony and forgiveness, and everybody has to be unified on Erev Shabbos. Why? Like it says over here, Hashem is waiting. And then since Rabbi Lamelach can feel in his neshama how Kutcha Berichu is waiting to descend, to project, to infuse his unity, so the vessel for that is our unity, although our unity is not the perfect unity, but at least if we can create a semi-unity, then God can influence a much deeper oneness on us. And that's the marriage between the zivug, the intimacy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shekhinah, means that the creations experience a divine unity. That's really what it means. The perspective of the divine, that it's only Him, is now infused into the creation. So let's read how he says it. Kutcha b'richu le'elo lo yosef al kursaya diyakarai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu above does not sit on his holy throne. So he says, what does it mean sitting on his holy throne? To understand that, he says, let's see what does it mean, the holy throne. So he says, pidish the meaning of kursaya diyakarai. I'm sorry, not the holy throne. Yakarai means the majestic throne, the throne of honor. Pidish it means, if you translate this Aramaic phrase, because Zohar is an Aramaic, if you translate this Aramaic phrase, what is known as Kursayu Diyakarai in Hebrew is called Kisei HaKavod, which we're familiar, means the throne of glory. The throne of glory. Kitargum Kavod, because the translation of the word kavod is yikar. Yikar means glory. V'hine yeduah is known, the kavod, the elyon. So now let's understand. Once we know that there is a throne of glory, so now let's analyze each word over here. There is the throne of glory. So the simple way of understanding is that this is such a magnificent throne. It's a glorious throne. That the throne is glorious. When you look at the throne, it brings kavod, it brings majestic greatness, honor, the honorable throne. But the deeper meaning of the throne of glory is that glory sits on that throne. So the throne is the throne to glory. Not the glorious throne. The throne that seats glory. Whose glory? The Shekhinah, the divine God. What's the Shekhinah? Shekhinah is Hashem as God makes himself king over the world. Because above the higher levels of the divine, he's above being a king to the creation. So when he lowers himself down to be a king over the creation, one of the names is Shekhinah because he dwells within the world. Because a king needs subjects. That's the whole point. What validates creation is only kingship. Beyond kingship, beyond Hashem wanting to be a king, there's no meaning to creation. So there is kingship. And therefore, kingship is called Shekhinah, but kingship is also called glory. Kavod, why? Because the kavod implies that there is someone being honored by others. Honor is, and who do you honor? You're the ultimate honor is to a king. So the king himself is called kavod. So what he's going to say is like this to make it easier to follow. The glory is the Shekhinah. What's the Shekhinah? Shekhinah is the Malchut element, the kingship element of Atzilus. Still part of the world of Atzilus, which is the world of emanation, which is part of the 10 Sefirot, which is still pre-creation. Shekhinah is still pre-creation. But she is the divine energy that goes down into creation to create creation. Oh. So, when the Shekhinah actively gets involved in her creations, when she goes down, she is called, when she goes down, going down is called sitting down. So she's glory. But when she's still in the world of Atzilus, she's not sitting. The king is not sitting. He's still above. When the king lowers himself down into the creation, then he's called glory. So glory is not just Shekhinah. It's the Shekhinah in a state of descent. Okay, that's the glory in the state of descent. Kavod. Now we're looking, what's the throne? So the throne are the first recipients of that glorious descent. Who's that? So those, he explains, are the, in each world are 10 sefirot. But the 10 sefirot in every world are incredibly inferior to the higher world. The 10 sefirot of the world of Bria, even though they're divine attributes, are considered creations in compared to Atzilus. The sefirot of Atzilus is really real divinity. The sefirot of the world of Bria, of the world of creation, although are considered to a certain degree the creation. It says actually the outside of them is literally creation. The inside of it, the neshama of it is still divine. And so it is as you go lower and lower, the sefirot in each world become thicker and denser and more creation-like. So the sefirot of Bria are called the throne to the Shekhinah of Atzilus. The Malchus of Atzilus, she's the glory. Her throne that she sits on are the sefirot of Bria. Now, not all the sefirot of Bria, only the first four sefirot. Keser, Chachma, Bina, Das. Kechabad, the Chabad with the Keser of Bria, that's the throne in where the Kavod, the Malchut of Atzilus, the kingship of Atzilus, settles on that throne. And that's called the throne of glory. It's interesting, he's going to say, after those four sefirot, what come? The six emotions of Bria. Chesed Gevura. Those are the six steps to the throne. King Solomon's throne had six steps going up to it. Everything in King Solomon's throne was a replica of the divine throne above. Like it says specifically in the verse, Vayeshev Shlomo, Shlomo sat al kisei Hashem, on God's throne. So there's two things. There are steps leading up to the throne, and there is the throne, and then there is the being sitting on the throne. So the being sitting on the throne is the king. That's the kavod, that's glory. The throne itself is the keser chachma bina das of the world of Bria, which is facilitating the Shekhinah sitting on it, the Malchus of Atzilus. The six steers going up to the throne are the six emotions, which are already further away from the throne, and the Shekhinah is not dwelling in them as much as it is on the throne itself. Sometimes it must be that the Shekhinah walks down those steps, so it's actually entering onto those steps as well. See, the further you go, the further you are from this original light. That's what we're going to learn over here, where he depicts what is the throne of glory. Now, what it means is that, so this entire entity, the stairs, the throne, the whose throne, the kavod that sits on the throne, it's all part of Kisei HaKavod. Right, it's all the Kisei HaKavod. And it all has a connection to Malchus, to Shechina only. Kisei HaKavod is only for Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sit on that throne, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is way above in Atzilus, above the relationship with the world. But Shabbos, he sits on that throne. But it says, Lo Yasuv, he will not sit on that throne, which means he will not join the Shechina in that to join with her, until she can become one. When she can bring her, all of the pieces in her life together into oneness, then he will join her and descend with her and imbue her with his oneness. And that's the meaning, that he will sit on that throne. But now the Zohar is saying he will not do that until she enters the state of oneness. First day? Okay, now let's read it inside. V'hine yedua, it is known, the kavod, the elyon, the supernal honor, hainu b'chinas malchus tatzilus. The malchut element of the world of atzilus, of the world of emanation, is called kavod. K'mashakasov, like it says, l'man yizar mercha kavod. That kavod will sing for you. And we know that the Shechina is always singing for God. She's singing with longing for her husband. V'nikra, and she's called Dmus, the image, kavod, the honor of Havaya of Hashem. Because she's not Havaya literally. Havaya is in Atzilus. She's the image of Havaya. She's the wife for him. She's the recipient for him. Okay, so now we know what kavod is. But now that's what glory is. What is Kisei HaKavod? What is the throne to the Shechina? Upirish Kisei HaKavod. And what is the throne of the kavod? Is as follows. Hainu. Kishe p'chinas ha-malchus nasis p'chinas atik lebriya. When the malchus goes down, that's what a throne is. A throne is stepping down. So when malchus goes down to become the crown, atik always means the level of keser. It becomes the crown to the creation. Malchus becoming the crown to creation means she's stepping into the role of actually creating the world. When she goes down, she becomes the crown of the next world. In Atzilus, she's the lowest level. She's the tail of the world of Atzilus. But for the creations, she is the crown of the creations. Once, but we spoke many times, when the Mishnah says, don't be a tail of a fox. I'm sorry, rather be the tail of a lion than being the head of the fox. It's referring to Malchut. Rather she be the tail in Atzilus than she becoming the head of the fox, which means she's the head, but it's only a fox. As being the tail of a lion. So she's much higher when she's in Atzilus, above and beyond time and space and creation and all that. But when she comes down to give life, then she's the crown. She's the big macher. She's the one who calls all the shots. She's the big king, dictating to the lower worlds. She's creating all those worlds. She's the mother of all of creation. And then she's called the crown of Bria, but that's when she's called Kisei, because she's sitting down. But what is she sitting on? Kiyadua, Sha'az, and then, Kiyadua as it is known. Sha'az, that then, what happens then? God, the four higher elements of Bria, the four higher sefirot of Bria, the Keser, the Chachma, and the Bina, and the Das of Bria, they're called throne in which she sits on. B'shem Kisei, they become the throne. Now, like is stated in Zohar, and it's stated in Reya Mehemna, which is the part of the Zohar, which is attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu. B'pirish, in the meaning of Sheish Malois L'Kisei, it says in Kings, chapter 1, No, Kings 1, chapter 10, verse 19. It says that there were six steers to Shlomo's throne. So the Zohar explains that Shehem Chenes Vav Ktzava is the Bria. These are the six directions of the world of Bria, which are the six Sfirot. Chesed, which is south. Gevura, which is north. Tiferes, which is east. Whatever. The six Sfirot, these are the six directions. Shehem Chenes Vav Ktzava is the Bria. Shenikra Shesh. But they're only called steers. They're not the throne itself. They're called Shesh Mailois LeBilvad. They're the six steers leading up, Lekisei Havaya, to the throne of Havaya. Who is the throne itself? The divine intelligence of Bria. The intelligence of the world of Bria. The Sphira intelligence of the world of Bria. That's where the Neshama dwells. Just like you can see it in the human. Where does your Neshama dwell? What's the main resident of the Neshama? In the Keser Chachma Bina Das of a person. The Keser is the skull. The Chachma Bina Das is the brain. The main dwelling of our neshama is in our Keser Chachma Bina Das. So the same is above. In the cosmic creation, the neshama, which is the Shechina, the soul of creation, which is the Shechina, dwells in the brain of Bria, which is Keser Chachma Bina Das of Bria. That Shlomo sits on the throne of Hashem. So I was a little perturbed trying to figure out what's the proof over here. So I think the proof is that Shlomo over here, even though Shlomo was a king, a physical human king, but his neshama was a manifestation or a from Shekhinah, because he was the Jewish king. So in him resided the Shekhinah. So when Shlomo sat on the throne, it was a depiction of the Shekhinah above, kavod, the Shekhinah above, sitting down on the throne. And what's that? That means that the Shlomo is above the throne. He's sitting on the similar. Shlomo is like the kavod that sits on the throne. Okay, it says, Vayeshev Havaya Melech Le'olam. Havaya sits down to be a king over the world. And sitting means lowering yourself. The idea of sitting down, who inyan ayirida, just like when a person sits, they lower themselves down. Who inyan ayirida v'hashpala, it's a descent and a lowering. Now, what would it mean that Hashem, that in this case Hashem is referring to Malchus, because Malchus is still called Hashem. Malchus is part of the spheres of Atzilus. It's called. But what does it mean that Hashem sits down? It means that Hashem is lowering down mechabad v'chagas shebemalchus. That the Chachma Bina Das and the Chesed Gevura Teferes of Malchus are being lowered down, the 10 Sfirot are Malchus, especially the upper Sfirot that are higher, that belong in Atzilus, they lower themselves down to descend into, to illuminate the lower world and to enliven the lower world. Leishef, to sit, Bekfifas Koima, with a bending down the posture, Alakise, onto the throne. Kama Shekasim HaMakam Acher is stated elsewhere. And therefore, when you take a look at the word kisei, the hakisei, and the word kisei is case aleph. The throne, case also means, like in English, a case, which covers. Case aleph means a covering on the aleph. What does that mean? When the Shekhinah, just like our neshama, when it goes into our body, you can't see the neshama because the body conceals and hides the neshama. So too, the Keser Chachma Bina Das of Bria, the crown, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge of the world of Bria, of the world of creation, which are the upper spherot of the world of Bria, are hiding in it the neshama that goes inside of them, which is the Malchut. The kavod is being concealed. The aleph, who's the aleph? The aleph is Hashem. He says the word aleph stands for the word Elokim. Elokim is the Shekhinah. Elokim is being hidden and contained and concealed in the case, in the spherot of Bria. Hein ob khnes kase khokh me bin das de brier shnikra case that are called case the nartake and they are a container le shem elokim to the name of elokim shu khnes malchus which is the malchus shnikra kavod which the name of elokim is malchus that's called kavod honor khnes khokhmat ata which we know malchus is called the lower wisdom zeo pirish kisei hakavod bechol makom and this is whenever we say kisei hakavod this is what it means. So if you came to class today, you got the best description ever of what means the throne of glory. Because we always hear talk about that the neshama sit under the, you know, you say, Keil Malei Rachamim, she sit under the Kisei HaKavod. Now we know what means Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory. The Sfirot of Bria that are facilitating the Shekhinah, the Kavod, that is sitting. But in over here we're learning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to unify with the Kisei HaKavod. He too wants to sit on that throne. To have that happen, she needs to be preparing for him. How does she prepare? She has to clean up her space. How does she clean up her space? She cleans it up from fragmentation and pluralism, and she unifies everything into a oneness. No, she needs to see the singularity in all of existence in her world. Come back to the point. Not get scattered. That's the point. The Shekhinah gets a little scattered, and she has to refocus. What's the purpose? What's it all about? And then in her unit, as she collects herself, then she becomes a vessel for him to join her. It's already time. No, they have to, my students have to sneak out. But I'm still going to continue learning a little further, so you can listen to the continuation. Now here it says, "Uba'ifan achar," and in another manner. But I was troubled when I was learning it, and it didn't feel right, these words that he's giving another explanation. It seemed like it's still a continuation of the same. And then I looked at the bottom, ha'ara, that it says in one of the Biurei HaZohar, it says on the words Ba'ofen Achar that it looks like this is a mistake and it's supposed to be Ubir Advarim and the explanation of the matter, because we're not going to an Ofen Achar, we're just further fleshing out this idea of what means Kisei HaKavod. So the next paragraph is going to continue explaining what means Kisei HaKavod, and then we're going to see the meaning of that this over here, there needs to be a unification has to take place in the Kisei. A unification has to take place in the level of Kisei HaKavod, in the level of Malchus. A unification has to take place so that, as we're learning over here, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come and settle on, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come and settle on to the Kisei HaKavod. And in another matter, finally, because we're learning over here that we have to bring in the masculine lights, so that's why we're bringing in the chevra over here. Not ba'ofen achar, as he says here, the words are ba'ofen achar, but really you're supposed to read it under here, and the explanation of the matter. So in Arizal and in Zohar, Yesh Mochayim. In Arizal and in Zohar, it says that there are seven chambers, seven hechalos. That in the highest world, in the first dimension of creation, which is the world of Bria, there are, besides ten spheres, there are seven chambers. These seven chambers have different names. There's one chamber called Hechal Ava, the chamber of love. There's another chamber called Hechal Haratzon, the chamber of desire. There's another chamber that's called Hechal Kodesh HaKadosh, the chamber of the Holy of Holies. So you have different chambers. Anybody that is involved in Kavanos, which means mystical intentions during davening, knows that it says that as you pray, in prayer takes your neshama into different chambers. You're going on a trip. Your neshama, your soul, is accessing spiritually. When we pray, we move along, even though we're not conscious of it. Great mystics and great tzaddikim are conscious as they are moving from chamber to chamber. So these are these great, great chambers. The highest of the chamber is called Heichal Kodesh HaKadosh, the chamber of Holy of Holies. That chamber is when, at the time of Shmoneh Esrei, we're entering into that chamber. The Shema, when we're saying Shema, we're in the Heichal of Love. So we're going through the various Heichalos. Love Hashem. And maybe even Avarabba. When we get to Avarabba, we're already entering into the Heichal of Love. And we move from there. I think during Ezra, Savaisenu, the Yatzev Enochai, maybe then we're in the Heichal HaRatzon. I'm not a mystic, so I don't know. I only pretend to be a mystic, but I'm not a mystic. The real mystics, they really know this. The chamber of the Holy of Holies. So let me give a little context. We just explained what means Kisei HaKavod, throne of glory. Now the throne of glory is the very, very deepest point where the king is lit, where the Shekhinah sits literally on the throne of glory. That is the first spheros of the world of Bria is the throne to the Shekhinah, which is the Malchus of Atzilus. Malchus of Atzilus sits on the Keser Chachma Bina Das. The intelligence of the world of Bria is a throne for the Malchus of the higher world. Fine. That throne, however, is in the chamber of Holy of Holies. So the Holy of Holies is a little more of an external setting where the throne is. And in the throne room, in that private chamber, which is called Holy of Holies, over there is where the yichud happens between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah. And that's depicted in our physical Kodesh HaKadoshim, Holy Holies down here, that they had the two cherubs over there. And the two cherubs were male and female. And the two cherubs would be in love with each other. As the Zohar describes, that they would embrace each other. So this is depicting this cosmic, powerful union that takes place. Now, the main union happens on Friday night on Shabbos, as we're going to learn. But in a semi manner, every Shema, every time during Tefillah, there is a Zivug happen. Where does the Zivug happen? Where does this unity take place? It happens in the Heichal of the Kodesh HaKadoshim of the world of Bria. Why? The Shekhinah is in the world, is embedded, or she descends down during the weekday into the three lower worlds. If he wants to unify with her, she has to rise up to the highest place in creation, and he has to descend. In order to be with her, he needs to descend to the lowest he descends to, and that's the tip of the ladder where she comes up. She climbs to the highest peak, he descends to the lowest rung, and that's where the unity happens. So usually the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the masculine element of God, is an Atzilus. He doesn't have anything to do with Bria, with creation. Only the Shekhinah enlivens creation and is embedded in creation. But for the sake of the unity, he descends one step down and he goes into the creation. Where does he meet her? In the Heichal, in the chamber of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that unity happens when we, by davening, when we are Somech Geula L'Tfila. This, we know there's a very important halacha that in prayer, that the blessing that we say before the Shema, I'm sorry, after the Shema, concludes with Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, that Hashem redeems Israel. And then begins Shemoneh Esrei. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach HaShviyah, and then we begin the Amida. So there is a very interesting law, halacha, that you're not allowed to make any interruption between. It's the most severe place of talking. For instance, in prayer itself, there are certain laws where you're allowed to say what. Now, plain talking, we shouldn't talk at all in shul and in Merdan. But If you're davening and suddenly the chazan gets the leader, the congregation gets to say amen, are you allowed to say amen? So there's all kinds of laws, what you can answer, what you can't answer in different parts of davening. One of the strictest places where you're not allowed to make any interruption is between the last prayer, blessing of the Shema, which is Gal Yisrael, and Shemona Esrei. Because you have to be somech geula letfila. So it sounds like a dry technical halacha, law. But there's something so powerful over here. Geula, what is geula? Geula means redemption. Redemption is only the infinite God who is above all definitions. He's the redeemer. Redemption means not being stuck in any constriction. So redemption is still part of the masculinity of the aim of Hashem. Remember, the masculine side of God is above creation. The female side of God is in the constrictions. We say Golos HaShechina. She, her name is Tefillah. One of her names of Shechina is Tefillah, prayer. Because that's what she's all about. She prays to her source. Even though she's divine, but because of her limitations, she only has limited resources. If she needs to support the creation, she needs to ask her husband to supply her. So she's always praying. She's always longing for more revelation. She's praying, and he's the Redeemer. When we put Geula to Tefillah, means he and her are connecting. You know, Geula, which is Yesod, to be more specific, Yesod is called Geula. Malchus is called Tefillah. Somech Smich is Geula to Tefillah, means to keep Yesod and Malchus locked together. Yosef and Yehuda, like we once learned. Yosef is Yesod, Yehuda is Malchus. Vayigash, it's this whole secret is in the secret parashas Vayigash. Vayigash El of Yehuda, that Yehuda, whose kingship, and Yosef, which is Yesod, should have a unity. That's the idea. Ah, the Torah is so gewalt. Like, we read it and we think it's just reading stories, but it's like the deepest cosmic secrets are everywhere. That's the secret of Samech Smichas Geula Letfila. Now, Yesod is called Geula, like it says in the end of the book of Rus. It says, "Im yegaolcha tov," if tov will redeem you. Boaz, a famous story, like, right? The Boaz was called to marry Ruth. He told her that there's someone before in line. There's a closer relative. If the other relative marries you, then if he'll decline and he won't want, I'll do it. So the words over there are, if our relative Tov, she comes down into the granary at night. And she says, it's your job to marry me. He says to her, stay till the morning. Tomorrow we'll approach the courts. We're going to invite the closer relative. His name is Tov. We're going to ask Tov if he wants to redeem you, which redeeming means to marry you, because your husband died without children, and therefore the relative has to do the yibum. If he wants to marry you, good. If not, I'll do it. So it's a story with a man called Tov. But there's always the deeper secret. It's like he's got it. Im yiga'olcha Tov. He's got it, don't worry. Im yiga'olcha tov means, if tov will redeem you, because tov is yesod. Imru tzadiki tov. Yesod is called tov. I'm just giving all these ideas. And that's why tov is gematria 17. And we know Yosef, who's yesod, personifies the energy of yesod. 17 years old, the Torah speaks about. The whole story, the whole drama of Yosef begins, Yosef ben Shvaz Reshana, 17, which is Torah. So this is all showing that Geula is Yesod, Tefillah is Malchus. That's why, who's the source of all prayer? King David. And King David, David HaMelech, is Vani Tefillah, I'm Malchus. So where does Geula and Tefillah when you're being somech ke'ula l'tfila, when you're being somech ke'ula, when we're being somech ke'ula l'tfila, which is creating this dynamic union between the male and female elements of the divine, where is it taking place? In the hechal of the Kodesh HaKadosh. We enter there as part of the Shekhinah for this unity. Because the throne is there. And that's the highest peak where Malchus rises. Because during the week, she descends down, down, down into all the particles of creation. And during prayer, she pulls herself out to refocus to her source. Above and beyond time and space, to receive from the singular oneness of God, from the Ein Sof, and pull that down. It's almost like she goes back to charge her battery. We see this all the time. You know, you're expending your battery energy that's in your phone into answering this email and making this phone call and checking this out and looking over here. You're diffusing. You have a one battery and you're like expanding. And thank you in yourself as well. Every morning your battery is charged. Then you take a piece of yourself and you put it into chasing this. And a piece of yourself gets caught up in this. Here your children exhaust some of your energy. Here your friends take some of your energy. Here your business takes it. Here your clients. And you all deplete it. Then you have to go back to it and get a recharge. So you can collect yourself and recharge yourself. So the Shekhinah comes back for a recharge to plug where? Into the source of infinite light. And that happens at that point of prayer where the two unify. So she rises up to the Hechal of the Holy of Holies. He descends to the Hechal over there, and that's where they click. Now, this happens, as you're going to learn, every day. But on Friday night, this becomes super, super... this goes on steroids. This is like way, way stronger, this unity. And it doesn't only happen in the Hechal of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but now he invites her up into his chamber, up into Atzilus completely. And she rises together with the creation, together with all the souls. She leaves even the Hechal of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and ascends into the world of Atzilus that's above the Hechal of the Holy of Holies. And over there, she has the ultimate unity with her husband. She goes into absolute unity and absolute oneness. The likes that doesn't happen during the week, even by Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah. The reasons why these things are supposed to be Friday night is because we synchronize with the way it is above. It's not only the mitzvah, But for sure, Mashiach is coming and she's going to be revealed to you. Are you going to say, wow, I waited all this time? The chamber of the Holy of Holies. Over there is where the yichud. Now we understand. There is where the yichud, the unity of zuchr and nuchv, of the male and female. As it is known, that's why. By the way, it sounds like interesting, but the kodesh hakadoshim, the Holy of Holies, is called in the Navi. It's in one place referred to as Cheder Hamitos. Literally as a bedroom. It's stunning. It's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because that's the place of the unity between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah. Now, what does that mean? That means you're learning Torah. That's what it means. Because when you're learning Torah, you're in the state of a Zivug. Because Hashem is pouring His light into your consciousness. That's a Zivug. It's not anything physical that we imagine. But it has all the light and all the energy and all the infinitely more delight and pleasure, because it's the penemius of it. It's on a neshama level. And in the divine, it's not just on a neshama level. It's on a divine level that is beyond. As it is known in putting back, connecting. So when this chamber dwells, the throne of glory dwells in this place. And he explains why. Keser shenikra kodesh shel hakadosh. First of all, what's holy of holies mean? So holy of holies means even amongst the holy, it's holy. We look at a tzaddik, we say, oh, the tzaddik is holy. Then you want to know who's the tzaddik's tzaddik. The tzaddik himself travels to a different tzaddik? Oh, that's the holy of holies. So who's holy? Chachma and Bina, intelligence, the intellectual attributes of the divine are called holy. Why are they called holy? Because every world is made up of six directions. So the six emotions, they're not considered holy because they're more already connected. Holy means separated. The creation of every world is coming from the six energies, the six emotional energies. Emotional energies are far more entangled. They're not removed. Intellect is aloof, removed. So the intellect of every world is called the holy in compared to the emotional attributes. So Chachma and Bina are called Kadashim, two holy ones. What's Kodesh HaKadashim? That's Keser. Because Keser is even higher, that even Chachma and Bina have no grasp in Keser energy. So Keser is the Kodesh of the Kadash. So that's the meaning of, oh. But didn't we say earlier that Kisei HaKavod means the Keser Chachma Bina Das, the Sfirot Keser Chachma Bina Das of Bria, that hosts the Shekhinah Malchus, that Malchus dwells inside of them. Now we're saying Kodesh HaKadashim is Keser Chachma Bina. So we have to understand. The Pnimius, the innermost of it is the throne itself. That's where the Shekhinah dwells. That's the inside of the Keser, the inside of the Chachma, the inside of the Bina. That's called and Das. That's the inside of the Kodesh HaKadashim. That's the throne itself. The more outer element is the chamber itself, the Heichal. It's not just the Sfira, it's an entire chamber. That's the chamber, the setting. It's the more chitzonius of those sfirot are called the chamber of those worlds. But it's still Keser Chachma Bina. The Keser Chachma Bina and Das of the world of Bria is called Kodesh HaKadashim. The pnimius of it is the Kisei HaKavod. And that's where Kutche Berichu Lo Yasev Al Kersayo. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come down to unify on that throne with the Shekhinah until she gets her act together and comes into a state of oneness. Let's first read over here so we don't look. Tehine pidish kodeh aner kesher nekra kodeh shal HaKadoshim ki pidish kadoshim. What is kadoshim? Aino b'chenes chachma bina v'das. Chachma bina and das, they're kadoshim. V'das ha-mamutza b'neim. And das, that's a mamutza. Okay, in between. So the chamber, Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's interesting. I didn't realize that. The throne itself is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Keser Chachma Bina Das is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then there is the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim. The chamber in which the Kodesh HaKadoshim is. So it comes out according to that. I made the wrong differentiation before. I was saying that the Kisei HaKavod is the Pnimius, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Chitzonius. No. The Kisei HaKavod itself is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But there's the Holy of Holies, and there is the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim is the chamber of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Chitzonius. That's the external of the Holy of Holies. V'Heichal HaShvi, and this is called the seventh chamber. When we say seventh over here, we mean not the seventh, the last chamber, the lowest, but the seventh over here as being the first of the seven, from up down. That means going from highest to lowest, it's chamber number one. I guess it's called the seventh chamber if you're going from, if you're climbing from the bottom up. If you're journeying from down here, from being in our world, in the world of Asiya, and you're ascending, if you're like a Baal Shem Tov who's able to rise into the higher realms, and you're climbing up, where are you going? Your first chamber will be a much lower chamber. The seventh chamber you will enter is Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay? V'yeshisha hechala yizalasai. And there's another six chambers outside of it. V'kula nechlalin v'oilin behechalazeh. And everything is aspires and becomes absorbed. In other words, when everything is in a state of aliyah, when everything is ascending, where is it ascending? Into this chamber. Hanikra Kodesh Kadashim, which is called the Holy of Holies. Kemavua Behechalo is the Parshas Pekudei. Like it's explained in this the entire portion of the Zohar in Parshas Pekudei, that's called the portion of Hechalos. Over there it discusses all the chambers. If you're curious to know the chambers, you can learn the Zohar in Parshas Pekudei and find out what those chambers are. It's in Zohar, page Resh Nun Tes. Okay. In a b'chinas oisaya heichal, what does it mean? What is that heichal? What is that chamber? It is a keli. It is a vessel, and a machon, and a base. That's called Kisei HaKavod, and it's also called Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Kisei HaKavod, which is the Kachabad, Kesach Chachma Bina Das of Bria, which is holding the Kavod is Malchus of Atzilus, that's in the Kech, so in the Kachabad of the world of Bria, is inside this Heichal. V'alkein Omar, and that's why he says, B'zohar, the L'pa'amim Nikras, Dalit Zaviyas HaHeichal Azeh, we find that sometimes in Zohar it says that the four directions or the four corners of this chamber are called b'shem dalet samchin, four supports, or dalet raglin the kisei, or the four feet of the kisei. What is he showing? That the heichal itself is lower than the kisei. That's why sometimes the four corners of this chamber are called supports to the throne, not the throne itself, or the feet to the throne, the legs of the throne, because there is the throne itself. The throne itself is the Keser Chachma Bina Das, the four first spheres of Bria. But these are the Heichal to it. It's the more external element, the outer chamber of it. Heichal, it is a chamber, Ubayis, and a house, Bechitzainius Bilvad, only external. And in this chamber of Holy of Holies, Sham Hayichud Dezun, that's where this unity takes place of Zuchrin Nukva, male and female. Datsilus of Datsilus, when? Bechoil. In the weekday, they use this outer chamber for their intimate moment. Dafk. V'zeu Shamakan. But this is what it says over here. The Bishabbis, on Shabbos, on Shabbos, when there's an elevation of worlds, a super elevation, and everything elevates, mibriya la'atzilus, from creation to the world of emanation, to the world of atzilus, hine kol hashisha hechalois the bria. So what has to happen first is like this. First, all the six chambers, which those six chambers are less connected, less enlightened, less imbued in the oneness, more external, the six are the six directions already. There's more, as we discussed in the earlier, the beginning of the class, more fragmentation, more separation. Those outer chambers, they first have to like fold themselves into this seventh chamber. In other words, creation has to like collapse itself into a nucleus state, go into the highest, deepest point of creation, which is the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim of the world of Bria. They have to elevate their consciousness into a state of oneness. Then this chamber itself has to go on a deeper journey, including in it, after all the Heichales have collapsed itself into her, now this chamber itself now rises higher. as we're going to see. Hinei kol shishayachal is the bria misyachten tchila, first become unified, v'nichlolen, and they become included, beheichal hazayin, in the seventh one, hanikra heichal kodesh hakadoshim. Everybody is called to visit the heichal of the kodesh hakadoshim. Keniskalia, like we said earlier, this oz, and then, is avidas p'chines ha-malchus, hanikra kavod, then malchus. Now, understand something, malchus was called kavod, like we said earlier. She is the mother of all these worlds and all these chambers, because it's her light that vivifies and animates and energizes everything, all the way down to the final outer existence, like our physical universe and our planet Earth and all the details of planet Earth. So which is a world where you don't see the unity so much. So what happens is we're saying that on Friday night, Hashem has to, the level of Shekhinah, which is embedded in all the lower worlds, has to gather itself up into that state of unity, into the Shekhinah has to pick. What that means basically is, in simple words to us, each and every one of us gets entangled in a million things during the week. Before Shabbos comes, you have to decompress. You can't, it's not good to come into Shabbos like seconds before Shabbos. It's very good. It's already midday of Shabbos. Drop your week. Shut your computer. Shut your phone. Disconnect. Allow yourself to go back into a state of oneness. Bring yourself into your core. Get to your center. Get to your, who am I really? I'm a holy soul that wants to serve God. And I was doing, because Hashem wants us to get involved in the world. But now He wants us to come back out. So we have to focus on one thing on Shabbos. We're going into the unity. We're going into one. And we have to make any amends if we, chas v'shalom, offended anybody or had any, if there's any lack of unity in our life, that's very important, as we discussed earlier. There has to be a shalom. There has to be a peace. That's how we do it in our own little way. And as the Shekhinah does that in the cosmic order, to unify all the six chambers back into the oneness of the seventh chamber, and that's the space, that's like the waiting room from where God is going to come down and pick up the worlds into Atzil. Va'az, as he says, b'chinas ha-malchus ha-nikra kavod, she goes in b'raza de'echad into the secret of oneness, which is, remember what we spoke last week, it's a watered-down oneness. That's why it's called the secret of oneness. In Atzilus, it's not called the secret of oneness. It's called oneness, because it's a much sharper oneness. But in the lower worlds, it's a secret of oneness. It's a semi-oneness. But at least she needs to come to a semi-oneness. It's like if you can't totally disengage Shabbos, but try your best. Not Shabbos. Friday afternoon, if you can't completely disengage, try the best you're able to. Shut everything down. Go be Mavis said. Go prepare yourself for Shabbos. Go sit yourself in. You still have thoughts that are going to bug you. Don't worry, but do your best. But when you try your best and you come to a secret of oneness, which means a semi-oneness, then Hashem will invite you in. When Shabbos will come, He will draw you into a much deeper oneness. Kizau, because this is the idea of Pchenes Halas Man. This really means the raising of the feminine waters. That means the Shekhinah, who's the feminine, she raises all the pieces, all the sparks of holiness that are scattered everywhere. Mikol ha-birudim, from all the sparks that were elevated, birudim means all the refinements that were done during the week, the sheishes emei ha-mais of the 6 days of creation, the kulam, and all of them oilim, rise, v'nechlolim, and become included, b'yesod denukva dezah, in the yesod element of malchus, nukva's malchus. Of the Ze'er Anpin, Shenikra Raza De'echad. When it goes into the Yesod element, like it says, the example that's given for this is that when a woman, in order for a child to be created, so it happens through the unity of the man and the woman, and there has to be first an ovulation. The woman ovulates. So what does the ovulation really mean? She prepares an egg. That's her ovulation. She appears, but the egg, what is the egg created from? It's from the finest of what her body can produce from all that she ate. Right? She eats, she absorbs, it becomes blood, and from the blood, and eventually in order to create the potential for new life. So the finest of the finest, in its most refined state, is now ready to become fertilized and to become a human. She can't create new life on her own. She can only produce the best vessel for that to happen. That must come from him. The man then brings the energy that actually can create life. But so take all of this, remove the physicality from it, and see it as the Shekhinah. During the week is eating, and it says the we eat, and when we're eating, the Shekhinah is eating through us. We're elevating sparks. It's not just eating, it's everything that we do. We are consumers, we consume energies. Those energies, we as a Jew, when we're focused, we're taking things from a disjointed world, and we're saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We're bringing things into the unity. By the time we're done, the end of the week, each and every one of us has a bag of mitzvahs. Every single one of us has a bag of grain that we gather during the week, and we all bring it to the Shekhinah. She gathers all of them, she refines them again and again and again, until it now becomes an ovulated egg, and this in her womb of the Shekhinah. Now it's waiting for the Yichud that will happen Friday night, which will now bring about this unity. And that's the meaning of that all the avoda, all the aliyah arises in the yesod element of nukva. The yesod element of the nukva is the ovulation. And over there is the yesod then of the yesod element of the male is then going to connect. And that's where the life is going to happen. And that's where the greatest unity of Hashem and the world will take place. That's the kind of the idea that he's explaining. Hold on. Let's read over here. All of them rise in the yesod element of the nukva of the Zeir Ampesh and Ikra Raza de Echad. You see, as what I said earlier, when it's still in the world of the nukva, in the female world, it's not Echad. It's only the Raza de Echad. It's the secret of oneness. Kama Shekasa, like it says, Ali Be'er, rise up air. The woman, and especially the yesod element of the woman, is called the Be'er, the well. And it says, Ali, raise. She's raising up towards who? Towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards her husband, which is Hashem. V'az dafka. And only then, after she has turned into oneness, kuche berichu, which is the male, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shubchene zada atzilus, which is the ze'er anpin of atzilus, Yosef al kursaya diyakarai sits on his holy throne. What that means is he descends to the malchus. Remember we said that the majestic throne, the throne of glory, that's Malchus. Pidish Kusaya Diyakarai, the throne of glory, Anubchenes Kisei HaKavod, that's the Kisei HaKavod, Haniskaliel that we said earlier. Shem Chenes Kechabad Bria, which is the Keser Chachma Bina Das of Bria, which is holding the Kavod, which is the Shekhinah herself. Shenikra Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is called the Holy of Holies. And over there is where he unifies b'malchus in malchus, shenikra kavod tata, who's called the lower glory, behechel ze, in this chamber, hanikra hechel kodesh hakadoshim, which is called the chamber of the Holy of Holies. Ki hu hamakim, that's the place, this is a very important line, this one line that we're learning over here, shahamashpia v'hamakabel mischabrim yachad. This is the point, this is the place where the mashpia, the influencer, and the makabel, the recipient, join together. This is the cheder hayechidus. This is the moment where Rebbe Chassid meet. This is the moment where you go into the chamber of a Rebbe, let's say, and he projects godliness into your soul. You know, Chassidim used to say, the Alter Rebbe had tainus on the Arizal. What's the story? The Baal Shem Tov had tainus. The Baal Shem Tov had tainus. The Alter Rebbe had tainus. On the Arizal, why he used the mishalim that were used in Kabbalistic terminology are also physical in terms of the, and especially you're dealing with zivugim and all of this, and you're putting ideas in people's heads that they're not. If you don't divest it from its physical meaning, it's so they said like the Arizal. And I forgot what the Arizal answered. And they said there would have been so much better mashal of the relationship of and the love and the chassidim used to say also that if Shlomo HaMelech would have had chassidus, he would have written Shir HaShirim as the love of Rebbe and Chassid. And that would have been a geshmak mashal. Now we have to deal with a mashal that is which represents men and women, but it sometimes if it's lacking refinement, lacks the edelkeit. And that can be a problem. Yeah. I forgot the story. I have to check it up. And the Arizal said, basically, in my days, this is what we were that was available to us, something like that. Look at these words. This is the place where the mashpia and the makabel mischabrim yachad, unified together. Mashpia makabel. Ki atachta in oile kol mashe yachal. Because the one below, which over in our case is the shechina, which is the malchus. It climbs as far as it's able to. What's the highest point of creation? Kodesh HaKadoshim, of Bria. That's the highest point of creation. That's the highest chamber. It's the highest peak you can climb. The Elyon and the one above, Yoyret Kol Mashe Yochel, descends the lowest he can. It's like if you're going into a Rebbe, to Yechidus, prepare yourself really, really well. Be at your highest point of existence. So that Nebuch, don't force the Rebbe to come down any lower. And he'll meet you at that high place. That's where Hasidim used to prepare. They would fast the day they would go into Yechidus and say the whole Tehillim and really prepare because you're going in. So climb as high as you can and then he comes down to meet you. And in the physical relationship, it means the woman takes the best of the best of the best of the best of all her, what she refined and that's what becomes the Keli for the Yichud. For the unity, v'zeh klolus in your mimer zen. This is the general idea of this mimer. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is echad above. He is real echad, because in Atzilus you really see the unity. Over there the unity is perfect. Lamata, he does not sit below. In the hechal of the holy of holies of Bria. Avidas, she becomes tchila beraza de echad. She becomes, makes herself one beraza de echad into the secret of oneness. In other words, even though she can't attain full oneness, but let her at least do the best she can. Kegavno delay, similar to him. Piddish, ki tchila yiskalu kalavav ktsavis debriya. First, the six directions of Bria, Shanikra Shesh Milus, that are called the stairs, like we discussed earlier. They're called the stairs to the throne. Shlomo HaMelech had six stairs to his throne. They're not part of the throne. Bik Keser Chachma Bina de Bria. They all have to rise into the Keser Chachma and Bria. And also, lift your emotions up into your intelligence. Emotions get sometimes wacky. Emotions get dragged and drained and dragged and... Collect yourself back to a focal point. Bring yourself back into your intelligence. Bring yourself back into a... Free all your emotions that have gotten entangled. Liberate them. Bring them back. A lot of times a person is just, I'm angry at that person. Stop a second. Stop kvetching and whining and being angry. Release that emotion back to the source. Look at the situation from a far more holistic place. And then you'll see, what am I? Like, come to a state of godless samoich and come to the... And then you'll forgive and you'll let go of the emotion and the emotion is free now. So bring everything back into your center core, into your intelligence, which is not so scattered. And then you're ready for the higher unity. For us dafka, and then only Yosef al Kersaya de Bria. Hashem sits down on the throne of the world of Bria. V'achakach oylem. And then, once he sits down to her, that means he gives her a hand. He lowers himself down to her world. Then he says to her, hop in the car. I'm driving in my convertible. The Eibishter says to the Shechina, we're going up to Atzilus. He picks her up and he brings her then into the world of emanation, into a unity that's utterly infinite and beyond. V'achach oylem zun l'may l'batzilus lis yachitcham. To become unified there. B'pchines yichud elyon in the higher unity. Vim lav, and if not, Einam oylem batzilus klal. They don't rise in atzilus at all. Ki al yedei yechudet ata, only through the lower unity, Dafke yalo ba'atzilus, then they can rise in the world of atzilus. Lemeve echad be'echad, to be one and one, complete oneness. Kenis kalyal v'day lemeven, and there can be this unity. So we finished over here. Gavaldi, I thought we're going to learn a whole new piece weiter, but we're going to stop over here. And next week we're going to start. Raza de Shabbos, yi Shabbos. Raza de Shabbos, yi Shabbos. And we're going to have Chazanis here. We're going to put on the music, the Chazanis Pinchik, Raza de Shabbos, while we learn it. It's going to be the background. Next week we're going to do that. I can't sing, sorry.